same university, and that's how we met. There's some backstory. And if you want to know any details on Axel, you can, I don't know anything, I'm sorry. But I'd like to speak to you guys today about something which for me is pivotal, is key in what made me become a Christian, which actually is very similar to what we were singing just previously, which is, what is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life? And let me ask you guys this question, actually, and I genuinely would like to see hands and responses. What is the meaning of life, according to whoever you are, please? Someone brave enough to tackle the meaning of life. Anyone? Okay, I'm gonna point at someone. You, with the wonderful hat. What is the meaning of life? No, not his hat, your hat. Although your hat is very wonderful too. To be happy, to be happy. That's a good answer. Any other thoughts? What is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life? About the journey. The meaning of life is, in a sense, how you live life itself. Any other thoughts about the meaning of life? I'll take one more. Three strikes in. I mean, three wonderful answers. I'm just kidding. Oh, what's your name? Jessica? Jessica, please. Yeah, what is the meaning of life? Bubble tea? Oh, that's very typical of you. See, life is one of those difficult things, but I think together you and I can grasp the true meaning of life tonight, if we employ a few logical tools, really just one. And it's a principle, and it's called the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Consider a Ferrari, okay? If you're just seeing the wheel on the ground, the fender, all the parts strewn out, and so you say, you look at all these parts, it's nice. But it's not a Ferrari. And there's no difference in the amount of things you have when the Ferrari is in one piece versus when it's separated, but it put together, a whole Ferrari means a lot more than the bits of Ferrari on the ground. This is true with almost everything. Consider, take anything. Take your high school life. Your high school life, in a sense, is far more than the 4 years that make it up. The whole is greater than just the sum of the parts. I guess it's one of the differences between life and math. 1 + 2 = 3, and 3 is not greater than 1 and 2, because that would be a problem. But however, when it comes to many things in life, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Two people in love, one person, two person, will never tell you the whole story, even if you add it together. Friendship between you and a friend can never be summarized just by the moments, the memories, and the years that you guys spent together. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Could you throw up for me Ecclesiastes 3:11? Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. This is a great problem. Whenever you try and approach the meaning of something, it's important to at least have all the pieces together. If someone was never, in a sense, you can pick anything. If someone has never seen a soccer game, someone has never played soccer, and you went to them and said, friend, what is the purpose of a soccer game? I don't think they'd give you a very reliable answer. You'd have to ask someone like Messi, at least. You'd have to branch out a bit. You'd have to ask an expert. But the expert would have to be able to look at things from the outside. In a sense, as you and I looking at a car is very different than a mechanic would look at a car. There's so much more to it than just the pieces. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So I want us together to consider life. Life is made up of individual moments. This moment, that moment, the next moment. I'll share with you guys a moment of my life. Perhaps you can grasp the meaning of my life. Who here was raised by parents who didn't speak English as their first language? Whose parents didn't speak English as their first language? So I'm speaking to the home crowd here. So my situation is whose parents, neither of them spoke the same language either when they first met. All right, okay, I guess this is me in my own camp. So my parents, my dad is Romanian, my mother is Thai, and they met and dropped out of English class after like the third class. So I don't even know how they got married, because like, I don't know if you guys know anything about Romanians and Thai people, but they don't speak the same language. And since they dropped out of English class, they definitely weren't speaking English. But I just don't think about it because of my parents. So I just pretend, you know, it's just part of my memory I just don't access. Just pretend it never happened. But for me, growing up then, because my parents learned English with me as I grew, I had a bit of some weird things. I had a really weird accent when I was really young when I spoke English. Because my mom, she'd speak English with a Thai accent. She'd be like, JL, come here right now. Right? But my dad is like, Mei, what are you doing? Come here. So as a child, you're very confused. Like, which is right? And you're like, neither. It's come. It's not either of them. But so it was a very difficult life. And the other difficulty was sometimes my dad would throw in Romanian words with the casual English. So I'd get confused what was English and what was not English. So one example is there's this one word when I was a kid, it's mooch. So my dad, like if you had a booger hanging down your face, he'd be like, Meg, wipe this mooch off your face. And I thought this was English. Because, you know, who doesn't speak English at home? And my dad speaks great English. So clearly it's English. So I go to school, say to my friends, yo, Billy, you got some mooch on your face? And he'd be like, you calling me a mooch? They're like, no, like you got some, you know, we got a little something. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about, JL. And this was very serious, though. There's this one particular word in our household. It's the word Vivi. The word Vivi, which is the Romanian word for the male general area. Right? And this is not a word that comes up very often in everyday conversation, some of you might know. So I never really discovered that Vivi is not the way other English people refer to as this part of the body. So I remember when I was in high school, it's grade 9, you know, my friend, he comes up to me and he says, JL, I met this girl. She's an awesome girl. You gotta meet her. I'm like, oh, okay, sweet, awesome girl. Who doesn't like awesome girls? So then he comes in, her name is Vivian. And I was like, her name is, and then he's like, what? You know, her name is, no, and they gave me a pretty dirty look. And suffice it to say, he didn't really talk to me much after that because nobody got the joke. But yeah, this is the stuff that life is made of. That's one moment of life. If you hear that, you might think, oh, JL has a pretty happy and funny life. But there's some sad parts too. I remember, it was actually just a few days ago, I had this classmate in high school who I talked with every now and then. I was kind of friends with. And I figured, oh, yo, I'm going to hang out with this guy, see how he's doing. So I go to post on his Facebook wall, and all I see is, oh, yo, man, rest in peace. Hope you're happy with God. I'm like, whoa. He was gone. He got sick, I think, 2 years ago. He's gone. He's with the Lord now. I didn't even know. There's a moment. You see, the great problem with life is when we try and find the meaning of life in life. You see, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And if that is true, then how much more is a car than just a tire? How much more is it really anything than just a small? How much more is a soccer game than just a soccer ball? How much more? How much more? So then, when you and I think of life, how can happiness be the meaning to life? Because happiness fades. It comes and it goes. It's just a small part of life. How can you explain all of life with just happiness? How could you explain all of life with just sadness? How could you ever explain life with just one small part of life? How could the meaning of life ever be found in life itself? It doesn't make any sense. So then, this leads us to our passage again, Ecclesiastes 3:11. If I could just read it again for you guys. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. You and I, as you look at life, there's many things that are unexplainable, things that we can't understand. And this is the way it's meant to be, because it says, so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. There's a mystery to the meaning of life, because we are unable, as humans, to ever step outside of life and look into life to discover what the meaning is of life. So if you could turn to Matthew 11, But there is someone who has. There is someone who has done that for us. He was there before birth, and he was there after death. The only man, the God-man, who was both born yet existed before birth, who both died yet lived after death, who is able to look outside into life itself. And he says to us, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, Jesus says probably the most profound thing you'll ever find in the Bible in this passage here. Come to me, all who labor. Come to me, everyone. I have the answer to life, to your very soul. I have the peace. I have the solution. I have what you have been looking for this whole time. You see, friends, things without meaning become empty and depressing. Consider your exams, those of you who are in exams. Could you imagine if exams had no end? What a meaningless exam that would be. And could you imagine if you never got your grade back, if you never graduated, if nothing ever happened from exams? There was no purpose. There was no meaning outside of exams itself. How depressing would school be? Yeah, so many of you, you're like almost broke down. You're like, oh my gosh. For some of you, it will be meaningless. You'll be like, why? Why did we even go through this? But that's okay. There's Jesus. But this is the thing. Without purpose, without meaning, there can be no happiness. Without something outside, there is nothing worth doing inside. If you're not going anywhere, there's no point in going. Why run on a treadmill if you're neither going anywhere nor making yourself healthy? Just stay at home. I don't understand people who run on treadmills anyways. That's all beside the point. But you need the purpose. You need the meaning. This is the cry of Jesus. So inspect. Have you been looking for the meaning of life in perhaps that time when you come home after school and you play video games? And does the meaning of life, in a sense, disappear the moment you just put it down? Have you been looking for the meaning of life in another person? But Lord forbid, that person goes home to be with the Lord. Where will your meaning in life be now? Have you been looking for the meaning in life in an emotional state, in happiness, in sadness, in melancholy, in beauty, in anything? It will all pass and fade in time. There is an end as there was a beginning to all things. It cannot be the meaning of your life. You will become miserable. You will reach the end one day, and it will be all for nothing if life is just for life. If life is just for life, why have life? But friends, it's not. Friends, it is not. Let's look at that Matthew verse again. I just want to read it one more time. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says to us in the Gospel of Matthew, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you build treasure on earth, if you labor, if you work, if you sweat, if you toil for what you find on earth, the only rest you will ever find is on earth. If you look for rest in video games, that's the only place you will have rest. If you look for rest in a person, you'll only have rest when you're with them. It only makes sense. If you look for rest in success, you'll only have peace as long as you have success. But God has put eternity in your heart, in my heart, in all our hearts. God has put in us a soul that cries out for forever. There has to be more than the end. There has to be more than just the end. There has to be a rest for the soul. A rest beyond life. A rest above life. A rest that lasts through all of life. A rest that all of life is working to. towards. Let me propose to you a thought experiment really quick. I want you to imagine you're just sitting at your couch. Who loves Netflix? Who loves video games? Who loves soccer, whatever, basketball? Okay. Imagine you're doing your favorite activity. You're just doing it. Okay, it's nice. But now imagine you just came from a long day of school. Just had an argument with your parents or whatever. And you sit down on that couch, you're at that basketball court, and you're doing that thing you love. It's a little nicer now, isn't it? It's a little more meaningful than it was before. It's now a little more special. Because context, my friends, context is everything. Rest only has meaning if there was work, if there was stress behind it. Vacation feels good after school, but there reaches a point near the end of summer vacation where boredom starts to set in. And you'll find yourself, some of you, you went to that dark place where you wished you could go back to school. Oh, some of you right now, you're smirking because I found you out. But see, rest only has meaning if you're resting from something else. So then this puts me to our third and final verse. If you would put up Acts 17 for me. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. You see, God has put eternity in our hearts because that's where the bank account is. That's where the work of life is investing. That's where you're making your deposits for the future, in that heavenly RBC, if you will, the true Royal Bank of Canada, that bank with Jesus. See, because one day Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for you. He's coming back for me, and he will check that account regardless of what was done. He's coming. And in a sense, there is no escape. You see, in two of these verses, there is no choice. You're born, and you cannot get outside of life and death. And Jesus is coming back. But the middle one, come to me. There you have total, absolute, complete control. Jesus says to you, come to me. Work for me. Save for your future. Save for your eternity. Labor on my behalf. Give your best. Give your best for me. For eternity, for forever, for something beyond life itself. True happiness, true peace, true love, true joy. Everything else here is just a shadow of what Jesus has in store. And that brings us, of course, to what do we do then? If Jesus is coming back, and if he's coming back for me, in you and for all of us, and if regardless of if we meet him before he comes back, we will have to give an account to him of what we have done with everything. So have we worked for the meaning of life? Have we considered our own life and what we are doing in it? Let me give us some places to start, if you will. At one point, and this verse won't be up there, at one point the Pharisees, they came to Jesus because he was teaching about this matter, about him being the true life, the eternal life, the great life, beyond all life, and they were confused. So they said to him, Jesus, you keep telling us to do stuff. What is the work that we must do? What good thing do we have to do to put savings in that bank account of righteousness? And Jesus says, the work you must do is that you believe. You believe in the one whom has been sent. Friends, do you believe? Have you given your life to Jesus? Do you want to give your life to Jesus? Give him everything, the whole thing, every moment for Jesus. Come to me, all who labor. The second thing which I think God calls us to do, the second work which he asks of us, is to get to know him. There's only one man who has divined, been inside the meaning and the mystery of life itself. So our ultimate guide to life is his very words in the Bible, the Old Testament and New. That's where we find the gold, the meanings of life. What are we to do to live in this life? This is the second thing we must do after we know him. We must study him. Search him out with diligence, for in him is true happiness, true peace, true joy. Everything we have been longing for but cannot have. It is found in Christ, in his word. And from there, friends, from there, we are equipped to go. We are equipped to go and do good for his kingdom, storing up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. At this point, I'd like you guys to split off into pairs if you will. I kept it short. I wanted to keep it short so we could all understand it. So could you guys do me a favor? Split off into pairs as my ever-watchful eyes are looking at each of you. Go into pairs. Go into pairs. Don't worry, I'll give you something to do, but you got to get there. Let me review, if I may. First, Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has set eternity in our hearts. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Your life is so much greater. You are so much greater. Your life is greater than that one memory. Your life is greater than that one happy moment. Your life is greater than that one sad moment. And you are greater than your life. You are above it. You are beyond it. Do not look for happiness in something so beneath you, like a mere moment of life. Do not look for your happiness in something that is so shallow compared to who you are. You are the whole, and you are greater than the sum of your parts. You are greater than your mistakes. You are greater than your failures, and you are greater than your successes. You are greater than everything in your life put together. You are greater. But God is greater than all of it. And he completes you. He gives you the meaning outside of yourself that you need for your life. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's what we're going to do. So in your pairs, looking at one another, where are you? Where are you with Jesus? And what do you need to do to come to him? What sin do we need to cut out of our lives to ask for forgiveness? What habit do we need to pick up? Do we need to start reading our Bible more? Do we need to start downloading those Hillsong worship tracks ASAP as soon as we get home? What is it that we need to do to get closer to God, to come to him? And then, what will you do with that? Will you share it? Let me summarize it in essentially three questions. Where are you with God? What are you going to do to get closer to God? And what are you going to do to share that with everyone else? All right? Where are you with God? What are you going to do to get closer to God? And are you going to share that? How are you going to share that with others? What will you do with your life? Take some time, 10 minutes, and then I'll pray over us. Just before I pray for you all, I'm just going to break it down one more time. So we can all, I think, understand. Because I think it's a way We never think of God too often. We never think of Jesus or the Christian life. See, there's this man. All right, you guys can look up him. His name is Andrew Clavin, and he actually became a Christian because he discovered, in a sense, that God is the great good thing. That's the title of his book. God is the great good thing. You see, often I think we have this weird idea that moments in our own life somehow are what make us who we are. As if your finger is what makes you human. One good memory is what makes you alive. But it's not. You are worth so much more than that. You are worth more than whatever negative thoughts are in your head. And you are worth more than whatever prideful thoughts are in your head. You are worth more than what anyone says of you. And you are worth more than anything you say of you. Whatever is negative about you, you are greater than that. And whatever is positive about you, you are greater than that. Because the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. You, as an individual, how could you stoop so low to look for meaning in your own finger? Looking for the meaning in life for the mere passing of 5 seconds of your life. Jesus is calling us to something higher. Jesus is calling us to something better. Jesus is calling you to the only good thing, eternal life in Christ Jesus. But you got to work. You got to work hard in this life for eternal life. Not that you could earn it, but that's why you're here, to give it your best. Why take a test if you didn't bother to study for it? Sorry if I just broke someone's heart. Why take a career that you don't care about? Why be friends with someone you hate? Why do something that makes no sense? Why? Let me tell you something that makes sense. Spending 80 years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, Lord be praised, 120 for me. Spending those years investing in forever. That, my friends, is the true meaning of life. To get ready for real life, eternal life. Do you have sins? Have you failed God somehow? You know what's wonderful? The Bible refers to those who have sinned as the lost, because it implies that they can be found. You are more than a sinner. You are a son and daughter of the living God. If you choose to walk in it, if you choose to live in it, you can be greater than your own life. If you choose to trust that life to God and let Him guide your steps every day, whatever negativity, whatever evil you have done or caused to others or has been caused to you is paid by Jesus on that cross. Every sin you will do against yourself and against someone else is paid by Jesus on that cross. And He's calling you to put down that crap and to get up and to follow Him to a greater and to a good life, the better life. The Christian life is the best life you could ever live. It is the happiest life, the number one life. I would be far more unhappy if I did not find Jesus. I'd be far more miserable without Jesus. I'd be far less of everything without Jesus than you. If you are not living with Jesus, you are far less of what you could be, because you're missing out on the greatest good thing. That God loves you, and He died for you, and He wants to bless you. The only free lunch you could ever buy, because you didn't buy it because it was free. It's the best free thing. It'll cost you nothing, and you will gain everything. But see, sometimes we don't make sense. Here we are. Have we really saved for this life? Have we really lived as if there is infinite gain? I can't say so of myself. there's so many areas I could improve on. There's so many ways I could do better. There's so many things I need to do in this life before I'm done with it. I need to be so much more of a better man, better woman, except not for me, for you. So friends, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you that you can chase Jesus with everything, that you will, Lord be praised, wake up early in the morning, before breakfast, before mom or dad come in, and you'll be found with your Bible. And late at night, before you shut your eyes, you will be found on your knees. And in the middle of the day, when that person curses you and says horrible things, you will say, "You look beautiful today. Stay frosty." When someone asks you to suffer on their behalf, you say, "This little bit, nothing." Because these are the principles of the Christian life. If someone asks for you to go with them 1 mile, go with them two. Is that the life you're living? Ridiculous generosity. Uncontainable standards. Limitless expectation. Are you greater than life? Do you break the rules of logic? Are you kind when men are evil? Are you good when men hurt you? And do you love those who hate you? And do you pray for those who persecute you? And unlike it seems everyone around us, do you love yourself? You actually think good of yourself, that you are a child of the living God. Man, what have we been doing with all our time? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you've called us to an abundant life. Lord, you've called us to an eternal life. Lord, heaven cannot contain the glory that you are. The sun, the moon, the stars, they are but the whispers of your breath, and we are but a speck of air that you breathed with a thought. Yet this life itself is so amazing, wonders beyond compare, things that we could never fathom. How much greater are you then, O Lord? How sorry are we for rejecting you? Jesus, forgive us. Jesus, help us to do better. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, Lord, I pray for us here today in this space, that we'd be able to grow closer to you, we'd be able to find you, that we'd be able to know you for ourselves and this inexplicable goodness that you are, that we would get a taste of you tonight, that we would chase you and touch you, for even just the edge of the shirt of Jesus could heal a sick woman. So surely the blood of Jesus is sufficient for me to know you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.